The mics are back on, and this is Radio Entrepreneurs. My name is Jeffrey Davis, and we're doing is talking to business and business leaders, entrepreneurs, and professionals. We are being hosted through all these segments by the law firm and partner with Radio Entrepreneurs of Tarlow, Breed, Hart, and Rogers. Thanks to Mark Furman, who currently is out of studio. And instead, I have upgraded. We have as my co-host, Mark Z from Mark Z Legal Staffing.
Jeff Flattery will get you everywhere.
Thank you. You said that before. our next guest, I think first timer, Rupal Patel, is a doctor?
Professor, yeah.
Okay, because it's okay. Founder of Vocal ID.
Yes.
Right. Tell us about Vocal ID.
Yeah, so Vocal ID is a voice AI company, and what we do is we create customized digital voices that have more diversity and uniqueness. We got our start making voices for people who couldn't speak, and now we're making voices for all sorts of things that talk.
Interesting. So, for example, when you're with ALS, I know people get to that certain point. Mm-hmm. Is that the type of work you did in the past?
Yeah, and we still do. I mean, most of our work is around, what do you do when someone is using a generic sounding voice? These days, the technology for speech synthesis has gotten better and better, and we can now bank people's voice before they completely lose it to create a unique voice.
That's wonderful.
Or we actually have everyday citizens contribute their voice to our voice bank, and we can blend voices for people who never had a voice, or unique, you know, applications where people want a unique voice, maybe accents that are not typical, like not a British accent or an Australian accent, maybe a unique accent, or different speaking styles, you know.
Right.
Oftentimes we hear the same kinds of voices on the radio or on TV.
So are you those infuriating female telemarketers who call me?
No. Mm-hmm. We're really sticking to the world of AI and not a lot of that work.
It's like sometimes I can't tell that they're not real because I try to interrupt them, and then I realize, damn, got me again.
Yeah.
but I see, like, for example, Stephen Hawking, you know, what you had to do. And then I know, sadly, I've met over the years ALS survivors that are going through. And then at some point, so do you meet with these families and do you bank their voices? Is there a process to this?
Right. So the way we got started was because I'm a speech scientist. I'm a professor here at Northeastern University. And what I saw was a real need for people who were using these devices to talk. They all sounded pretty generic. So if you go into a special ed classroom, you hear the same voice from everywhere around you. You go to a, you know, ALS fundraiser and you'll hear the same voice, Alex, you know, or Ryan, coming from everybody's different devices. And they're actually unique people, and our voices a really important part of who we are.
Right.
So what we wanted to do is capture that unique identity of the individual. And we were initially building voices for people who never spoke. So they could really only make some sounds. And so that's why we had to crowdsource voices from everyday citizens who would contribute their voice, and we would blend the voice of matching individuals together.
Interesting.
That's what we were doing.
Now, I apologize if I'm showing you my ignorance. Nope. You know, you said something, you called yourself a speech scientist.
Yes.
And, you know, I was, you know, inquisitive enough 20 years ago to read Deborah Tannen's book, and she considers herself linguistics.
Yeah.
Is there a difference between the two?
Yeah, so linguistics is more the study of language. Speech science is more the study of the motor production of speech. So there's, you know, in fields you sort of narrow in on different areas.
Right.
So we have communication is the big broad term.
Right.
Then language is putting words and thoughts together. Speech is actually much more the motor act of how the muscles and the brain coordinate to produce the sound that comes out of our body. So it's more muscular and neuromuscular.
So, you know, you categorize yourself as a scientist.
Yeah.
But you're an entrepreneur. Can you tell us how those worlds came together and how it all evolved?
Yeah. So the story started maybe about 4.5 years ago. I'd always had an inkling to take the work that we were doing, because I was blending two areas of research together, even in my research. The study of speech production and, you know, clinical applications with new technology. So our lab was an interdisciplinary lab. And one of the projects, this Vocal ID project, got some airtime, got talked about on Morning Edition one year. And that got a lot of, you know, people interested in what happens and how do you create a voice and so on. And then I got to go on TED, TED Women, in 2013. One of the asks I had of the crowd is, what if you could donate your voice? to, and lots of people signed up for that. And it's still a research project. It was still sort of an idea of how do we make these voices for people who can't speak. And a lot of people started volunteering. And I thought, if people are willing to contribute their voice, we could really make this happen beyond the dozens or half a dozen people that we can help in the laboratory. We can actually do this at scale. So in 2015, I took a leave from the university, and I'm still on leave from the university, to get this company off the ground. And it's evolving. I think we were ahead of our time in terms of thinking about custom voices for all sorts of things. But 2017 was the year of voice, and now you're seeing lots of applications thinking about that voice interface. You know, oftentimes AI thinks about AI applications are all about does the computer figure out what to say at the right time and so on, but it's the way it says it that's important.
But I would think with artificial intelligence and what you're doing, the merging of the two in the next 5 years, where speech can change based upon what's being said to them on the other side, is going to dramatically change it. I mean, just to be a little bit humorous, since let's assume my wife called me 5-6 times a day.
Sure.
If I had AI and speech, and I could actually respond to her without actually even having to respond.
Well, that would be a different thing for your marriage, though.
I told you I was making a joke.
There was a movie about Adam Sandler years ago where he had like this pause, and he went on a pause, and he still had a person there even though it was a speech.
Right. But how are we going to know?
So I think this is you're bringing up a really, really important point.
I mean, I make a joke, but I'm not making a joke.
Yeah.
I mean, you know.
So, Jeff, I think it is starting to get much more blurry now between AI and our human, like our lived reality.
Right.
And today, sometimes by the time you're in the second sentence or the third sentence of that call, you know it's synthetic, right? But it's getting scary close. You heard probably the Google Duplex demo this summer where they called restaurant owners and made reservations, and people didn't know that it was a bot calling, right?
Right.
Even, let's say, for political elections, and I could go, my mind has gone on further than that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you could be making millions, if not billions, of calls.
Sure. So there is obviously the societal good piece of it, like helping those who need a voice. And then there is the take it to the extreme. I mean, obviously the telemarketing piece where it's like, oh my gosh, more of that. And then there's even one step further than that is, you know, now more and more applications are being accessed through voice, right? So you can talk to your Echo, you can talk to your bank and move money around and so on. When do we...
Scary.
Yeah. So what we're doing in the last, actually, 6 months or so, we've started really looking at how do we protect our synthetic voices from being usurped for negative uses.
Like the eye detection on my Apple.
Right. So we're doing both the make the voices as good as possible, but also doing things in order to protect them from misuse.
The other thing is, it's also when you do these voices, do you do, like, for example, when people talk, do you anticipate the next question? Because one of the other things, for as you say, for the good, but then even in a good commercial space, like, for example, my business, you know, I've always from day one said, you know what, I need a live person, a good person to be the first caller. But if I have, like, sometimes I might have so many people out of my office and I don't have time to answer, but to then use your service where you could have somebody with not a robotic sounding voice that can maybe go a couple steps and then gets to me once they've filtered out what the call is.
Yeah, and so you're now starting to talk about dialogue, right? You're starting to talk about the fact as, like, you know, can you anticipate the next thing that's going to need to be said? And I think what we do is much more about the synthesis piece, but when you bring that together with all the natural language processing and the dialogue system stuff, you start to get really powerful interactions. Think about, like, let's say a patient with dementia, right? Family members get phone calls at 2 a.m. And it's really hard to continuously nurse this kind of interaction.
Right.
What if we could, even text that message and so that it isn't this constant face-to-face interaction? I mean, I think the tough thing is we're talking about speech and we're talking about voice, which is deeply personal, and we don't want to depersonalize it by just making it all synthetic.
Right.
So how do you maintain the personal, which is the connection through voice, and yet, you know, give it the ability to scale. So that's the tough part about what we're doing.
So did you bootstrap this yourself or do you have funders?
Yeah, so I have bootstrapped quite a bit of it, but knowing how to write grants, we have gotten a lot of funding from the National Science Foundation and the National Institutes of Health through their small business innovation grants. So we've been super successful at that. Next piece is accelerating into into other types of funding.
Well, clearly there's an unbelievable potential ahead of you.
I think it's a really exciting area, and it's one where there's so much benefit, and I think we have to start thinking about thinking ahead, one step ahead in terms of the negative consequences. I feel like a lot of AI companies just kind of go full steam ahead and just are about scale, and because of the way we've grown, we can think about that, but also be really careful about not having.
Well, you have to have a social mission.
Yeah, we do.
That's excellent.
You know, we're not defined as a B Corp or something like that, but we certainly have.
Well, I'm an ex J&J employee, and I know they've had their mistakes. But again, what's basically driven J&J for 250 years has been a social mission.
Yeah.
So I understand if somebody's looking for you, and you know, it's so intriguing. I'd love to have you back again and again and again.
Sure.
It's a great topic. If someone wants to find you at Vocal ID, how would they do that?
It's vocalid.ai is our URL.
Right.
And if they want to contribute their voice, they can do that the same way, vocalid.ai/voicebank.
You want our voice, Mark and I?
Yeah, why not?
That'd be his voice.
Actually,
I don't know about mine.
Mark, you have a great Bostonian accent, right? And it's funny, this is what oftentimes people...
He's from Providence.
I don't know, Eastern board here. But we get people asking for that diversity because that's how they define themselves, right?
Right,
that's how they
right.
think of who they are and their identity. I think the big piece for us is we're all about how do you get to the identity of the individual and capture that.
Excellent.
Well, thanks for being on the show today. It's so exciting talking to you.
My pleasure.
My mind is just like, going crazy thinking about different things. So, again, we've been speaking with Dr. Rupal Patel, founder of Vocal ID. You should really got to check them out. And my co-host has been Mark Z Legal Staffing. Got to check out that firm, too. And my name is Jeffrey Davis. We're going to take a break. We'll be right back after these messages on Radio Entrepreneurs.